Welcome to Business IQ Radio. You're listening to 105.1 Bedford Community Radio in Bedford, New Hampshire. And I'm Andrea O'Brien, one of your hosts, and I'm here with my co-host, Don Byrne. Don, how are you?
Doing very well, Andrea. Excited about today's show. It's going to be very interesting to cross over between the arts and business, I think.
Yes, it's a bit of a murky space because I think of an artist as being very maybe temperamental and, you know, they're not business driven, they're not business model driven, but the arts is a big category. And today's guest is really going to be focusing on that more of an economic, you know, art as an economic development engine. And in particular, we're going to be talking about the digital arts.
I do know that some studies have recently been done by the state, I think funded by the legislature, showing that there is actually a return on investment in the arts. And I do know that I believe the second largest export of the United States is entertainment. And that's everything from movies to television to music to other works of art, creative writing, things of that nature. And of course, we see it showing up on everybody's website. Everybody's creating these little videos and things like that.
Videos and, you know, I mean, there's...
Do you have a YouTube channel yet?
No.
Okay. We need to get you a YouTube
because
channel.
Because I have a face for radio.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we need to get you something so you can feature your clients up on YouTube.
Businesses. You know, and video gets shorter and shorter. 15 seconds can tell a lot of story in 15 seconds.
And in fact, I do know that some people we worked with at Manchester are talking about, and this is a little bit of a stretch, this isn't art as such. However, it's the skills of art. I know there was a manufacturing company that produced their own set of safety videos, mm-hmm. a series of 30 sort of 1-minute videos, and that formed the basis of the training program mm-hmm. that people had to go through before they could work with some of the equipment from a safety standpoint on the shop floor. So it ties in because there's got to be camera work, audio work, there's got to be scripting of this.
Editing.
Yeah. So
camera angle.
All of that infrastructure. I'm real interested in that.
Storyboarding. Well, then you're in luck because today's guest is Dan Berube. And he is the chair of the Manchester Arts Commission, otherwise known as MAC.
Okay.
And he's also an advisory board member of the New Hampshire Office of Film and Digital Media's Film Commission, which is a mouthful.
I didn't even know we had one.
I know. And he's actually also a board member of the Manchester Makerspace. Now, today's show isn't going to focus on the Makerspace, but I think we should have a show on the Makerspace for people who are looking for, sharing tools, sharing resources, mentorship. And by the way, the Makerspace is at 36 Old Granite Street. So we'll be doing another show on that. But today we're going to be talking about, the digital arts and, you know, film, basically.
And I do know, and I think we can ask him about, I'm not 100% sure, I believe that Manchester High School has won some awards in this area, in the film area.
Yeah, you know, students, I think students, kids love film. Everybody loves film. To make it into a profession and a business, that I think could, you know, people should consider it. Although I personally, if my kid came to me and said he wanted to be a filmmaker, I might dismiss it, but I shouldn't have. I shouldn't.
You shouldn't. Well, let's pose some of these questions to our guest, Dan Berube.
Dan, thank you so much for being our guest today on Business IQ Radio. You know, one of the things that we run into at the Small Business Development Center sometimes are clients that are artists. And it's difficult to know how to be an artist but run a business, right? Because when you think about an artist, you think about the starving artist. You don't, or I'm creating the thing I love. The heck with if anybody else likes it. So I think this is going to be a good show for people who are artists, whether it's digital arts or painting or sculpture or clay. I think this is a good show to tell them what the infrastructure is, what the support system is, what some of the tools they should know about in and around this area. So thank you so much for being our guest today.
Well, thank you, Andrea. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm always excited to be able to talk about the community that I'm helping to build and lead, especially in Manchester, New Hampshire.
So we definitely want to know more about you and your background. I mean, you have a great resume. So can you tell us a little bit about how you became involved in the arts?
Yeah, was there one thing that hooked you? Was there that moment that you just said, this is it, this is my career? Or was it a gradual process?
Well, that was basically before I started going to college essentially before high school again. And basically when my brothers took me to see films and experience the magic of seeing a film in a cinema or at a drive-in, and one of them was Swiss Family Robinson at the King Cinema on Amherst Street. And then another opportunity was when my brother Roland took us to see Star Wars at the Bedford Mall when it first premiered. And those two experiences really wowed me in terms of I can tell stories, and these stories and these ideas, you know, that are in my head and that I'm always trying to visualize, we can find ways to get them out. Even back then, back in the 70s, we found our ways to do it through Super 8 cameras, through just audio taping conversations and re-editing them, et cetera, starting the photography department at high school, et cetera.
Yeah, and now if you fast forward to today, and I think about many of the clients that Andrea has, many websites come, and the way that people get their introduction to a business is people seem to want to communicate visually. They put, you know, 2-minute or 3-minute little quick films up there. A lot of people have YouTube channels as a way of marketing their own organization. Do you have some thoughts or what's your opinion of this kind of effort? I mean, is it, as an artist, are you feeling level of professionalism was higher, or what are you thinking?
The technology has really developed so that anyone can do this, and that there's a lot of businesses out there that offer these services. And some of these services, in my opinion, you may not need particularly for your business. Do they fully understand the story of your business or of you? And, you know, for me, as long as you can keep it real and keep the human element behind it and not, you know, I've seen some of these videos that are like, they're either a template and they just change the name of the business, or it just doesn't make me feel like I want to use the services that this business offers.
People go online and pay for Fiverr to do some little mini thing for you, and for $5 you get exactly what you pay for.
Right? Yeah, well, and sometimes. I mean, I've actually used Fiverr.com for logos, and that's helpful. And that's part of the whole idea about a global community working together, how the technology through, now that the web is here for good and hopefully will stay, the idea of collaboration and remote collaboration allows you the opportunity to get together with people who, I'm looking for this artist, and I can't find this in my town, but you can find them in other towns, and they're ready and willing to work with you. And that's through the experience of my working, everything that I've been doing, whether it be producing events for film or just my business itself, working for the city and for the state. So,
can you talk a little bit about your role at the Manchester Arts Commission? What is the Manchester Arts Commission, and what do they do?
Yes, the Manchester Arts Commission was founded in 1937, and it's part of City Hall, city government. So we do not rely on any tax dollars. There's no budget. There used to be a budget, but that was cut several years ago. And what we do have that was started by a person by the name of Georgie Reagan is the Manchester Arts Fund. And the Arts Fund is part of the MAC and is a self-sustaining way for us to keep moving forward, where people contribute, and we are part of the city. So we're essentially a 501c3, tax deductible. And there are like-minded people, organizations, and businesses that have been contributing to this. A great past chair of the MAC was Peter Ramsay, who is very prominent in business-related arts and culture in the city of Manchester.
Peter is the
executive director at the Palace Theater on Hanover Street, right at the Yellow Brick Road of the Cultural District. That's it, just been named.
Yep.
And
oh, really? Is that something?
It's a big something, yeah, I mean, and I'll get to that.
Okay. It's called the Yellow Brick Road?
Oh, no, I'm calling it the Yellow Brick Road because it's like the entrance to it. But
okay.
hold that thought.
Okay.
So Peter was three terms chair of the MAC, and during his time, he helped raise or put money into the MAC, the Master Arts Fund, through commissions of artists' work that we would sell at the Mackinich Gallery on Elm Street, which is part of the Health Services Building. And we also do that at City Hall as part of our outreach called Art in the Wall at City Hall. So
I've seen those. I've seen the pictures. They're really good. I wondered how paintings get selected to be there.
Well, I can tell you what's happening now.
Okay.
Today is our opening day of the 12th Annual National Arts Program exhibit, and it's a citywide exhibit. In other words, the people that have submitted are all city employees, their immediate families, or city volunteers.
And by the way, when we say today, because this does become a podcast, we're talking July 7th, 2017 is when we're talking.
Yes, July and August of each year. So this has just started, and it's full on at City Hall. We're using every single hanging rod that we have to hang art on the wall there in the east and west wing. We have over 150 submissions by, I believe, just under 100 artists. And now this is not a curated, there are some certain, you have to be a city employee or volunteer and whatnot. There are some policies in terms of the scope of the art, non-offensive, et cetera, because it's in the public environment. But this gives an opportunity for the city to be able to show, and to be seen and to know who the creative people in our town is. I think the biggest obstacle between arts and culture and business is that people tend to be either standoffish or they don't quite know as soon as they hear the word artist, they'll say, do these people make money? Are they, are they working artists? And I think that every artist becomes an artist because they have that creative ability in them. So I tend to refer to people as creative people as opposed to just using the word artist, because I know that is a touchy word. And so in terms of business,
By the way, can I just interrupt and ask, absolutely, is it primarily a painting medium, or is there sculpture? Is there film? Are people doing things with gaming? I mean, what is the scope?
This is the magic of our city of Manchester. So right now it's art, paintings, photography, paper, works on paper, crafts.
Fiber,
hand making,
like fiber art.
Fiber arts, crafts, that's been mostly nothing with video or film yet, but or nothing with games yet, if you will.
But not precluded from being
not precluded
there
at all, because there's arts and culture and everything in my term. In fact, I think that arts and culture is the key solution and key answer to a lot of the issues that we face in the city of Manchester. And as we move forward to build that community, you'll see like-minded organizations, businesses catch on and really understand the nature of how arts and culture can really bolster their bottom line. And I've learned that through being on the legislative committee with the state for studying the economic impact of arts and culture in the city. And right now, and in the short, to sum it up, very conservative, out of every dollar that's spent in the city, we see, or in the state, I should say, there's about $11 that comes back.
Wonderful return.
On the arts. A dollar on the arts, you get it.
And this is anything from parking your car, or buying a, in the city, parking your car to buy a ticket at the Palace Theater, of which you then go out and eat. And then you maybe buy some special clothes for that occasion, or you take other people and anything that, and then what do you do afterwards? You go and you'll probably shop somewhere. And so anytime that there's arts activity or culture and the art that results out of culture, and in Manchester, we're built on making things. The city was built on making things and on diversity. So we are a proud city in that there's, many cultures, including new Americans, immigrants and and refugees that really add to the fabric and the arts and culture of our city that really is pushing the city forward.
Do they participate? Have you, I don't know if, how close you are to the artists in the area, but do you see a lot of influence in the arts coming from these other countries, these new Americans?
Yes, absolutely. We've had several exhibits over the past year. The most recent one was the NT Academy exhibit of our city that's in collaboration with the with Bruce McCall and the Curia Art Museum. And also with NHAA, we had the Bring It exhibit that deals with immigrants and both programs, immigrants, inner city kids, and gives opportunities for them to hold, you know, where they never had an opportunity to even hold a crayon in their hands to be able to work with art. Even with the flag redesign contest that are presently going on in Manchester, we've had classes submit, like in the case of Central High School, the basic English class, which is you know, lots of people that don't speak English, and who have never held a crayon in their hand, had an opportunity to really get involved with the process of being community and city, building community in the city, and submit artwork of their interpretation of what a flag in Manchester is.
It's interesting you say this because I know you're well aware of the exhibit over at the Milliard Museum, where I think they have one room where people put in on a map of the world where they're from. And the diversity of the population is just staggering.
Yes.
Where we draw from.
Actually, you know, kudos to John Clayton and all that he does. We work together. So that...
Which museum is this?
The Milliard
one.
The
Milliard Museum.
Yeah, right on. Was that Commercial Street? Where the university is?
It's on Bedford Street.
Bedford Street.
Sorry, John, if you're listening. But
John's been on the show, and he's a terrific guest.
Yes. So he's had immigrant exhibits in the past, and they have migrated, such as in the case with the NHIA Bring It exhibit. And we do cross-pollination together. So we had the NT Academy exhibit at City Hall, and that has just been moved to the Milliard Museum. So that's on display throughout July and August. And we're giving opportunities for people to see their work and have their work seen where otherwise they would not. They'd be just in their own, you know, silos, if you will.
Right.
So being able to do this in the public environment is a good thing for our city of Manchester.
Well, it's just such a, it's wonderful for people who are engaged in the arts to have an infrastructure and to have an entity that they can become part of that will kind of string it all together.
In terms of diversity, the you think of this as opportunities, conversation cafes, the introductions to people to be able to take what they do, and if they're artists, to be able to make a living with that, to have their work seen, and then gives them more opportunities to get into a job, get into an employer who's looking for people, and, you know, and that's all part of the process, you know. We're together. We stand together. And we work best together.
It's great. Well, you're listening to 105.1 WBNH Business IQ Radio, and our guest today is Dan Berube, and he is the chair for the Manchester Arts Commission and also on the advisory board of the New Hampshire Office of Film and Digital Media. So we're so glad to have you here today because we know a lot of, you know, there's a lot of business in the arts.
In fact, Dan, I wanted to ask you if I could. You mentioned the outlet that we provide for city workers. Is there an equivalent outlet for businesses? Is there any kind of a competition yet in terms of where businesses? I know in the past in other, like in New York City, there'd be commercials would be put up, or we see, you know, after the Super Bowl, we see the rating of things. Does anybody do anything around the commercial use of art yet?
Oh, that's interesting. The commercial use of art.
Great idea. And, let me get some thought to that.
Maybe we can get something going.
I think we should. Absolutely. Well, businesses are involved, especially at the art with the Arts Commission. So we have businesses that sponsor the artists that come and spend 2 months displaying their work. we had Yang Chen, an Asian artist that's wonderful with watercolor. And we're very happy to have Merrimack, a Volvo dealership in the city sponsor that. And there's been other groups like Hunt Photo and other you know, any business, from whether mm-hmm. it be a car dealership to a restaurant to you know, a creative outlet, you know, store and whatnot, they all seem to be wanting to get involved.
And you mentioned the Palace Theater before, and I know that there are many performances put on, another area of the arts put on, that are being partially sponsored right. by businesses. There's a lot of music. In fact, as the number of restaurants increase, I think, in downtown Manchester, and even here in Bedford, we get a little bit of fallout of that. We're seeing more musical groups. So, you know, providing those venues for people to get their start, to get going, to hone their art, feels like an important part of building the infrastructure. And they're in that business. And so if we don't provide that infrastructure, we're not supporting that key part of our industry, of an industry.
I agree. And with Manchester, because I'm using that because that's
sure.
where I am.
Some of us used to be part of Bedford, used to be part of Manchester.
Yes.
John Clayton explained that to us in one of our first shows.
So, you know, I work with the Chamber of Commerce and on the Downtown Planning Committee and the Cultural Coalition. And there is, where am I going with this?
Well, we were talking about different kinds of arts and the sponsorship that we had both for music as well as for performances.
Yes.
And the overall effort of commercial businesses
yes.
to.
So in the case of the Palace, again the city or the Manchester District Cultural Coalition just named in tandem with the city 6 blocks right around the Palace Theater as a cultural district. And now that's downtown, and in my preference, I'd like to see us continue that work for that we find places outside of downtown and throughout Manchester, because I mm-hmm. think, you know, of course, yeah, a city thrives through its activity in downtown.
Right.
And of course, the Mill Yard is no exception. And the ways that we're working now through Manchester Connects to bridge the Mill Yard with downtown Manchester and make it accessible. We've got a walking loop. We're going to do an event October 14th that involves a tremendous amount of art and sculpture and whatnot, and businesses working together. But my idea is to see, and you know, with the Arts Commission that we foster all over town, in the case of the Palace Theater, some of the things that we've been able to do, and with the Mill Yard Museum, is that one of our recent photography exhibits at the City Hall with Ella Carlson, who is got her master's at New Hampshire Institute of Art. We actually chose that as an opportunity to spread art throughout the city and downtown by not only having her gallery there, but also choosing restaurants and businesses like the Palace Theater, Cafe Loren, Hunt Photo, the Master Mill Yard Museum, to place her art there, and to so that people that don't know anything about arts in the city that might go and add to the business impact by, you know, seeing a play or musical at the Palace, or buying a camera, or, you know, going to see the historical Manchester, you know, at the museum, whatnot. They'll see this art there and say, oh, this is another thing that we can do, another way that art is being supported in the city, and why not? Let's go and see that as well. So we're attracting, we're doing what we can to attract more traffic downtown that will add to the business impact of the city, because you see more than one thing.
So as a state, I mean, I didn't even know that New Hampshire had a film commission, or, you know, we have clients from all over the film industry, from production studios to small, like, business video production. And what role does the film commission play, and why would a business or a professional in that, you know, a sector, what would they get out of connecting to the film commission?
Well, I can just tell you from my own experience, I produced and edited a film called The Chain, based on the original story by Tobias Wolff, that we shot entirely in New Hampshire, in Manchester, Derry, Londonderry, Concord, Penacook. And the businesses that we dealt with were all welcome arms and wanted to help us in any way they can, because they know that, you know, anytime a production like that or anything of a creative nature, it's going to help their business by being either part of the film or helping to provide services that help us together to complete a film like that. And you, when you're talking about the Office of Film, I welcome you to invite Matt Newton on the show at some point, because he would be a wonderful person to talk about that. And he might even want to add Jenny Loopy, who's the director of the State Council on the Arts. And both of them were, actually, I represented the film in office back then. Last year, it was the film, the Office of Film and Television that I represented on the legislative House Bill 279 to study the economic impact of arts and culture. But now it's the Office of Film and Digital Media, because television is more than just television. It's, you know, you see and Netflix and YouTube, apps and whatnot. Right. So Matt and both Jenny can talk really about how, and can actually provide good numbers about how they're helping provide services to people that want to come into the city or the state to produce their productions, whether it be a film, an independent film, a commercial, a political campaign, anything that requires the use of locations and film, whether it be film or video, and creating. And Jenny has a lot to say about nonprofits and businesses working together and the economic impact there. And, you know, I think that anyone in the state will benefit by understanding why a film company comes in, or a production company comes into the state or establishes themselves as a business in the state of New Hampshire, that there's a lot that can be gained by working with them.
So you recommend that a professional in the digital media realm connect with the commissioner, or?
I absolutely, with both the MAC and with the Office of Film and Digital Media, there's plenty of other organizations that can be, that people should get involved with. But, you know, and again, it goes back to the whole communal aspect of joining together in a room or a venue and whatnot, and just sharing experiences, like-minded goals. And everyone wants to have a business and be successful. Every artist wants to be successful. They don't want to be a struggling artist. They don't want to be. And unfortunately, there's a lot. The biggest challenge, I think, an opportunity, because, you know, I always think of challenges as opportunities for artists, is to work in their marketing and promotion of themselves and their story. They excel at visualizing stories or creating stories, and oftentimes they need to also spend that same amount of time to be able to visualize how they stand as a story to other people that look at them. And so services like the Office of Film and Digital Media, the Council on the Arts, the Minnesota Arts Commission, these different organizations excel at putting people together and working with them to solve, giving them a place for them to be seen, to be heard, to work with, to find resources that can then, especially in the case of the Office of Film and Digital Media, find other people in the state who are very creative that want to work and are looking for their next job and whatnot. So
that is the challenge. You know, here you have this a person that has a passion for sound, or
and they may not know, they could be a musician, or it could be a
voiceover artist,
a talent. It could be a person that owns a music shop or whatnot,
or writer,
Absolutely. My goal as being chair of the MAC and fostering all forms of art and culture in the city is to provide occasions for this to happen. And where people get together. I've excelled at it in Boston in creating a community there, and moved back to Manchester 2 years ago to expand into the New England area and to do this. So I really believe that there are a lot of creative people, creative artists, not artists, but creative artists in the state of New Hampshire that are looking for ways to connect and to create.
The network, you know, plug into that network.
The network is very important, and in our industry, it's all about relationships. And when you can establish a relationship that's proven, when you've demonstrated that you can add to the business impact, you want to do it again. It's rinse and repeat. There's plenty of stories to tell.
And I think the implications also of what you're saying here is one of the concerns we've had come up in the show often is how do we attract young people? How do we get people to stay? How do we avoid the brain drain? And if it turns out that you're able to have a place like Manchester be a cultural center, a place where people can find things to do, can interest them, can allow them to raise families in a diverse environment, a lot of experience. I mean, that is so positive to the overall economy. It's not just the entertainment area. It's part of the infrastructure we need to have a vibrant society.
Yes, and that's why I go back to I really do believe that arts and culture is the key answer to a lot of the challenges and opportunities that we face in Manchester. And it's all about the stay, work, play theory or belief. You know, I didn't want to have to go to Emerson College. I wanted to stay here in Manchester, and there's now opportunities for that. And that's part of events and programs that we do, like the New Hampshire High School Short the New Hampshire High School Short Film Festival, put on by the Office of Film and Digital Media in its 10th year, next year, 11th year.
That's cool.
High schools from all over the state submit, and then we show it at Red River Theaters in Concord. Then it goes on tour throughout the state throughout the summer and fall.
Wow.
And this gives people, students, an immediate ability to have their work seen in different areas for other students and other people to see their work and to find the gems and the people that want to find ways to stay to work. And then, you know, we did last year in October, we showed the program on summer tour at the Palace Theater. And then the day or a couple days afterwards, we had a media arts education day at UNH Manchester. And that was a full packed room there.
Well, I have to give 105.1 WBNH a plug here, because as we mentioned when you showed up a little bit, we gave you a little tour of the facility. And we actually encourage our high school students from Bedford High School to come in and learn some of these skills. It may be not something that they want to do professionally, but as we said before, even if you have a small business, if you want to produce a 3-minute or a 5-minute video about your dental business or your hotel that you want to start or the coffee shop you're starting, and you can do that with a nice, you know, cell phone and put this up and get it up on YouTube, those skills will find their way into our society.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In the case of, we mentioned Bedford High School, several of their films have won top awards at the New Hampshire High School Short Film Festival, and will continue to do so, along with other schools that realize this community environment and this atmosphere to allow others, whether they're the youth who are gifts to our planet, to be able to create stories of diversity. And so I'm a real strong believer of businesses and organizations finding ways to work with the young and students who want to learn and become better at what they do. And through this mentorship circle, because there are things that you'll learn from the students and the things that you'll teach students, your businesses will be better by it. You'll find out what the young and the millennials and the younger people below the millennials will want, and you can, you know, focus that on your business, whatever you might be, and you're reaching out to people who are going to give them chances to think about staying in this state, which is a beautiful thing.
So, how good a job are we doing in terms of promoting the arts of this area, the state, and the region? Because I will tell you that I have a lot of experience working down in Louisiana. They've done a marvelous job. As you probably know, they're the third most popular site for filming TV and movies now. I think a lot of that has to do with the tax structure. I know that you've been involved in some of that legislation. You know, some of our representatives from here in Bedford who sit on that commission. How good a job are we doing in promoting? I mean, I will tell you honestly, some of the things you've told me about today, it's the first time I've heard about them.
Okay. Well, and that's, and I'm doing my job then.
You are. You're spreading the word.
Yes. And while our Office of Film and Digital Media or New Hampshire, while we don't presently offer tax incentives, we constantly look at ways and have been putting that in before, you know, the in Concord to see if we can get them passed or, you know, or and right now they're looking at different ways of doing things with investing, you know, and whatnot. But the biggest thrill and opportunity for New Hampshire is the fact that there's such a rich wealth of locations. There's a lot. We don't need permits when we're filming, like which costs a lot and add a lot to the complexity of a film or a media production. And so, I mean, you still have to. It's probably a good thing to get a permit when you can have work with the police and whatnot, you know. But and we have like the with the law enforcement and whatnot, a tremendous support mechanism there. When I did my film, The Chain, we had to film on the streets in different parts of different towns, and we didn't want to do it fly by night. We went to the police because we knew that they. They're not standoffish. They want to help. They want to help support you. They want to see you tell your story too. And the biggest thing I can say is that for, you know, especially for youth, students that are thinking about starting a business here when they graduate and get into the media production, small production companies that have the opportunity to grow by staying in Manchester and staying in New Hampshire and organizations, is that New Hampshire offers such a rich ability to be able to we don't have tax incentives, but we have other means and ways of being able to get the films made completed easier and that more affordable and whatnot. And as we continue to do this, we'll work with other people in the state to realize how we can move forward in the terms if we ever do start offering tax incentives and whatnot. I don't think that tax incentives is a deal breaker. You know, because there's a lot of activity happening. And, okay, we're not getting a lot of feature film or Hollywood film, but I can tell you a lot of what's being created, especially by these high school students, Bedford High School, can compete. And it's all about story. It's not about the big whiz-bang special effects and whatnot.
It's not all CGI.
When you get down to the story and the acting and the talent, we can go head to head with that. And that's why it's so exciting to be able to work with the Office of Film and Digital Media and to be able to do these festivals that cater to all, not just to one town, but all of New Hampshire. So there's a lot of growth potential there.
I'd like to ask you about some of the festivals and events that happen where people can congregate and learn more. But I also wanted, before you go there, I wanted to ask you about the award-winning film that Bedford High produced. Can you?
Yes. Okay. Well, from this past year, it was Bedford High School was a jury award finalist for their film Spaceman with the students John Morin, Lubomir Zepka, Ryan Bellarose, and Jack Ridman. And they worked with Jill Corson Pearson and others who are instructors at Bedford High School. And what I liked about this film is that they actually went just outside of Bedford, too. They actually filmed, and I forget which park it was. So it was the park near Central High School. And they actually went and filmed in the Mill Yard. And so you see, you know, a lot of these students' films, like some of they're part of class because the schools have a curriculum, you know, and others don't. They're doing the best they can. And so sometimes it's always a pleasure to see them getting out of the hallway and the lockers in the library and getting out actually into the environment and actually involving families and older people. And, you know, there's a responsibility there when telling a story to try to do your best with the materials that you have at the time to put as much value on the screen. And part of that is, you know, professional acting or, you know, acting that can cut the story.
What was the name of that film again?
Spaceman.
Spaceman. And where can we see it?
Well, you can certainly be in touch with Bedford High School. And I believe that, it is going on tour. The whole program for New Hampshire High School Short Film Festival is going on tour this summer to different locations. So if you go to...
maybe the Bedford High School website?
Well, I'm just trying to...
You're looking it up.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
It is basically New Hampshire Film dot NHSFilm.gov, I believe. And then off there, there's a link for the New Hampshire High School Short Film Festival.
Okay, we'll look that up.
And we'll make sure that we confirm that and have that listed, if you can have that ability.
Yeah, sure. We put it on the website for the station.
Excellent.
You know, the other thing that I really like about what you're saying here, Dan, and it's opened my eyes to some degree, is all of the supporting jobs that go along. It's not just somebody behind a camera and somebody in front of the camera. There's a lot of production that has to be done. I heard you speaking before about audio. I heard you talking about lighting, set design, costume design. I mean, just a wide variety of skills, all of which really feeds an economy.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously talking from the high school level and whatnot, all the high schools have a theater department, have a chorus, have a band, have a writing department,
may do some set design.
Right. And so they can all find ways to work together. And the opportunity for them is through being inspired by what we screen with the New Hampshire High School Short Film Festival to give them the incentive to take that step further and develop a curriculum or expand the curriculum that they have. For businesses in the state, it's a win. It's a win because we've established through the legislation and just research that, there is, for every dollar spent, there's about $11 that comes back. That's actually a conservative amount. And that there's definitely a canvas of opportunity for the state to be able to work with that and expand upon that. And I believe in this day and age that, and it's troublesome, it's hard for people to do this, but to think not as a silo, but as a people working together in decisive collaboration, not just tossing ideas out, but, talking and thinking about ideas that can, which you then make decisions on to move forward. Anytime that you can do that in storytelling, it's a win thing. Whether it be you're showing your film as a focus group and you can weather the comments that you get to just working with people who want to, the end result is they want to create, they understand that by creating and whether it be stories, personal stories, the stories about culture that educate, that, even through narrative or documentaries, you learn more about the diversity that happens within the state. And the opportunities that exist, it's a win to be able to make all this happen together. And I'm losing my train of thought.
That's okay.
Well, I'd like to just jump in with, so when I think of New Hampshire and I think about the film industry, I think of three things. I think of On Golden Pond, which was shot at Squam Lake, I understand.
Yep.
That, I think about Jumanji in the city of Keene. That must have been great for the stores in Keene to reap that benefit. And then the third thing I think about when I think about film is I think about Florentine Studios, which is the Ken Burns group.
Ken Burns, right.
In Walpole. They've really made, I feel like they put New Hampshire a little bit on the map.
Yes. Now, I come from the Radio Shack mentality that it's not necessarily the big names that really advance our cause, but it's the people together, like you and me, and then the small businesses and the students and the people that are moving upwards that really make this state stand out strong for the talent that we have. And the challenge is getting people to think that it's not just Jumanji on Golden Pond and Ken Burns, that there's much more that this state has to offer.
Well, right. Super Meats. I wanted to talk to you about Super Meats.
Okay.
Tell now, you professionally coordinate Super Meats, but what is a Super Meat for the art industry?
Yeah, the Super Meat is sort of like putting the finger on the pulse in the content creation industry of what's happening.
What is the Super Meat?
The Super Meat is a gathering of like-minded creative storytellers. It's an opportunity for, and we center around shows like National Association of Broadcasters or NAB in April or IBC in Amsterdam in September. And we've been at shows like Macworld in San Francisco, excuse me, South by Southwest in Austin, standalone shows like in London and in Boston.
So these super meets are standalone gatherings.
They're industry galas.
Industry galas.
There are one-day events that bring people together for workshops, for to be able to give them an opportunity to meet with businesses that cater to our industry and to network and get feedback. Not only provide feedback on the products, but get feedback from the from the businesses. And it's a two-way communication. And then we have a theater, a stage, of which we have basically a two-part presentation. The first half is typically sponsors that have paid to help make the show happen, and they bring on workflows and user case. It's all user case driven. It's not a dog and pony show. It's kind of like TED Talks for our industry.
Okay.
And then the second half is big keynotes with people like Walter Murch or, you know, filmmakers or, you know, that have been out there and are established, and we are lucky to have them come and visit and talk and share their ideas and goals, or it's sometimes about a theme like 3D or virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And we comb through the industry and find out who's available and who can come and share that experience. And in terms of arts and culture and businesses together, this is a perfect mix because it really puts, makes an opportunity for people to come together in a educational setting that is informative and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it started off as at the grassroots level. I run a user group in Boston called the Boston Creative Pro User Group.
Boston, BOSCPUG.
Yes. And my business partner, Michael, for these lives in Los Angeles and he runs the Los Angeles version. And in our heyday, we had about 60 groups all around the planet. And we have, in our heyday, we're doing like 6 a year. Right now, we're doing 2 a year right now because we ebb and flow with the industry. And that's what it's all about. The super meet that we might have in the first half of the year might be totally different in terms of content from the one that we have later in the year because in our industry, things change so rapidly. And our ability to be able to capture that and provide that as a moment in time,
mm-hmm.
For, you know, anywhere from 600 to 3,000 people in a day.
So how do you get the word out to the business, the business sector that does digital media? How do you advertise that? Again, it's that marketing, you know,
we've established a huge word of mouth.
Uh-huh.
And part of our success is with a show like NAB, which is, I don't even know how many years, you know, I know how many times I've been going to NAB, but, you know, it's the biggest show on earth mm-hmm. for the content creation industry. And on Tuesday, it's there for a week in April, and on that Tuesday, it's Super Meet Tuesday, because everyone knows they're going to get out and go to the Super Meet, because we offer for NAB a chance for people to get out of the trade show, get out of the, and get out.
What's NAB?
Again, the National Association of Broadcasters.
Oh, okay.
So at that show, you'll see, you know, businesses anywhere from radio, satellite, television, film, web, internet,
wow.
content delivery, you know, everything that encompasses what we do right now, right here, right now.
Huge industry.
It's a huge industry, and yeah. You can't go to a show like that and think you're going to see everything. You have to go several years. And
yeah.
And then with the web and whatnot, it's changing things about, is it even necessary to go to a show like that now? But with the Super Meets, we really provide a venue for people to communicate to each other and share. And then, you know, go back as agents of change into their community, into their business environments and learn, you know, take what they've learned in Vegas or at a show and at the Super Meet and apply them.
Hey, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
No,
you
not
can't
all the
share
time.
Anything.
Not if it's on film.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, let me pick up on that a little bit in terms of future of technology. And we talk about technology here
yes.
in the show.
I'll warn you, Don is a big techie.
I'm big on that. And
he loves tech.
So I have a relative who is an actress and a director and a writer. we recently went to a couple of movies and she was outraged. And she was outraged because what's happened is they can now, through CGI, do a simulation of characters.
Right.
And they're actually, I'm trying to think what the one was, but they showed somebody and they simulated what that person looked like 20 years earlier.
Right.
And then they show you the person today because they were telling it was a flashback.
Yes.
And her comment was, this is laying the foundation for cutting out artists and paying a reduced amount of money to them because they won't be paid for their performance. They'll be paid for the use of their,
I
their
mean,
shape and figure and their face and things like that.
Well, you're a big fan of progress and technology and whatnot. And Disney has spearheaded this whole software that can take the best expression of your eyes with the best expression of your mouth or nose or, you know, and combine that into one take from different takes. And that they did that on Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and Star Wars Rogue One. You saw Princess Leia come back at the end.
Oops. Right.
I hope you didn't. I just spoiled the movie for her.
Spoiler alert.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 with Kurt Russell.
Right. That's the one I was thinking of.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, there is that argument, but there's also the idea of the opportunity for stories to become more enriched by being able to do things that we wouldn't necessarily be able to do before because we couldn't, you know, go back in time and film the actor or the actor has passed away suddenly. And what can you do about that? Do you try to live to the essence of the story? Do you write them out or whatnot? So while I do understand people's concerns about it's chewing away, it's not the industry, it's not movies. It's been happening for a while with the technology, Apple, with you know, PCs, with the idea that anyone can film a story now. Anyone can, but you still have to know how to ask the right questions, how to ask the last question, how to wrap it all into a story with these, you know, you can make all these, you know, wonderful things with people that don't even exist now, but if it's not a good story, as in the case of probably 5 or 6 movies out right now, I'm not going to go see it.
Right. And the technology doesn't end there because one of the other things that Andrew will laugh now is I'm a fan of robotics and drone technology.
Yes.
The ability to capture very different perspectives
Absolutely.
And viewpoints. I mean, I've seen some things that are really amazing in terms of how things are being rendered these days. And you know, just a perspective you wouldn't otherwise have. And I think that's really the promise of technology. Technology is an enabler, but you still need the creative person to direct
right.
and frame
you,
it.
You still need to storyboard it. You still need to plan it out. There's still the art direction. What these, like drones, and I find that drones and the ability to get above eye level, it adds that visceral element to the story. Surreal. It really, you know, especially depending on what story's being told, you know, there's always the person that's going to buy a drone and then overuse it. Every shot is like going up and it's like, stop, please stop. But, you know.
Well, I want to give one plug for another area of art that we didn't touch on, but I'm sure you would agree is a form of art. And I want to give a plug because it's something that I think we do quite well in this area. And that's culinary art and
yes.
food. And the restaurants that we have here. And there's a lot of creativity. There's some really talented chefs in and around the Manchester area. And that is yet another element of that, what we talked about before, that infrastructure that's going to be the work, stay, play, you know, hold on people.
Now, you know, this is the business show. So, I'm doing a lot with the MAC, Manchester Arts Commission. Then I'm also having a... we're going to start doing events and right on Hanover Street in a venue that's right across the street from the Palace Theater that will allow us to work with culinary artists to be able to have events where they bring their food there and we talk about it or we experience it or we, you know,
nice.
It's part of another event where we have an independent film screening and the culinary artists are there or performance or
work. Don't try to sneak your popcorn in, Andrea.
That's right.
I'm on the hunt for anyone out there. I'm on the hunt for a really beautiful vintage popcorn machine. I'll probably find it soon.
So we're running towards the end of the time. It's just flown by.
I have a question.
Yeah. And we'll let Andrea do that. And then we'd like you to sort of look into your crystal ball and, you know, what do you see in the next 5 years? But I'm going to turn it over to Andrea first.
Yeah. I'm wondering if Hollywood knows we're here. Does anybody out there kind of look to not Manchester, but New Hampshire as, a, you know, let's...
Hollywood knows we're here. I mean, we've got Sarah Silverman, Adam Sandler, you know, who's the other person I keep forgetting?
Oh, yeah, comedian.
Right, Seth...
Seth Meyers.
Meyers, yes. There's people that are lesser known, but equally of status and whatnot. They know New Hampshire exists. They also are in the throngs of change in the industry, where Adam Sandler just signed a contract deal with Netflix, and he doesn't have to go through Hollywood anymore. And so you're talking about what's going to happen in the next 5 years, or I'm hoping that these trends in enabling technology that lets other people do it and whatnot, and especially, and I can't wait to see how VR is going to be used as the new pen and paper.
Right. Virtual reality.
Yeah. You're going to see New Hampshire become more and more on the forefront as a leader on its own of telling stories, not only for Hollywood, but of its own nature. And we have a tremendous historical perspective here that, you know, I want to make a film about John Stark that I think would be inspirational to a lot of people. And so I think that, you know, yes, they do know that we're here. But there is the business, unfortunately, right now, big business executives in Hollywood that, you know, they just want to see the pure profit and whatnot. And
right.
Sometimes the what could be a really wonderful film or story.
You know what would be a great film? Don's wife is a descendant of...
She actually is being made, I think.
Oh.
Hannah Duston, yeah.
Oh,
so we'll hold that off. But if you're interested, people, you can ask about that. We've come to the end of our time here. I want to thank you, Dan. And I'm sorry, we have to have you back because one of the areas we didn't get into even was I'd love to get your thoughts on some of the immersive technologies of people being embedded in gaming.
Sure.
And the opportunity of this VR and exploring the VR.
Yeah.
Have you ever put the glasses on?
Several times.
I have not either.
And it's a wonderful experience, especially when it gives you an activity to do, like painting with light and 3D, and you can walk around it, and it's just beautiful.
For those of you listening to 105.1 here, you can just look at your radio now and imagine all of this, because you're telling a good story. You're painting a nice picture with your words.
Yeah.
By the way, before we sign off, I just want you to know that Don and I are both available as extras.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be the before picture.
And I would love to do like a continuing series of conversations because we need this.
Absolutely. We do.
And I thank you for being able to offer this.
Oh, we're so delighted, and it's really one of the missions of 105.1 here in Bedford to do this.
Especially for businesses that can be some more successful by realizing how they can incorporate arts and culture.
Right. And we do have the precursor of the high school students being interested, and so it's wonderful to see. But we are short on time, so I'm going to turn things over.
Okay.
As we do every week at this time, we want to thank Dan.
Thank
for
you, Dan.
Joining us, Dan Broovie.
Thank you.
And Dan, by the way, how do people reach you, and how would they find out about you and your business? Maybe 30 seconds or so?
Okay. I'm in a transition of change, so...
If someone wanted to contact you, what would be the best way? Is there an email or
is there a
Facebook page?
editor@mac.com.
Okay, editor@mac.com.
I was very lucky to grab that the day that mac.com came out.
That was good.
That's great. Okay, and on that note, we'll turn over to the sage advice we get every week from Andrea.
Because people have to hear it more than once, and thank you for being our guest. So remember, listening audience, you can spend more than you make, but you can only do it for so long.